My name is Roger Smith, and this is a podcast featuring an interview with Stephen J. Farnsworth, professor of political science and director of Mary Washington University's Center for Leadership and Media Studies. He is the author or co-author of several books on media coverage of U.S. presidential elections. Dr. Farnsworth, a former Canada-U.S. Fulbright Research Chair in Public Policy at McGill University in Montreal, received a PhD and an MA in government from Georgetown University, a BA in history from the University of Missouri at Kansas City, and a BA in government from Dartmouth College. Dr. Farnsworth, who worked for 10 years as a newspaper journalist before becoming a professor, has lectured on the news media and elections and led reporter training sessions in several countries, including India and the Philippines. And Dr. Farnsworth has won three campus-wide teaching awards at Mary Washington University, including the Alumni Association Outstanding Young Faculty Member Award. For several years, Dr. Farnsworth taught in the Department of Communication at George Mason University. This interview with Dr. Farnsworth is to focus on the Virginia Senate race. I'm looking at the Fredericksburg.com page about the Virginia Senate race, and this is, once again, too close to call in many polls, even though many have a cane in the lead. Within or outside of the margin of error. But you would argue that longtime residents aren't going to be particularly persuadable in this election. They'll make up their own minds, and new voters will do that as well. What impact, if it's going to be different or the same, will new residents of Virginia and longtime residents of Virginia have, and what kind of impact on this election?
Well, it's important to remember that for people who've been around Virginia for a while, both Allen and Kane are former governors. Allen also a former senator. And so you have, among many voters, a pretty clear opinion about these two individuals. These are highly visible political figures in Virginia politics over the last generation. So for a lot of the longtime voters, they've already come up with their preference. They like Kane, they like Allen, whatever the case may be. So the challenge for both campaigns is to try to reach out to the newer voters, the people who might have moved to Virginia more recently, who haven't spent as much time here, and as well younger voters who may not have political memories from the time when Allen was governor or even when Kane was governor. It's been a few years. So as a result, these two campaigns are focusing really intensely on both younger voters and those people who've moved to the state recently. Virginia, unlike many states, has a very large movement in and out of the state. And so there are a lot more newer voters here than in many other places. Part of that has to do with the military. We have so many bases, military bases in Virginia, and that creates all places in the state, particularly Hampton Roads and in Northern Virginia, where there are a lot of people who come and go. And that creates a challenge for political figures that, you know, you don't really see nearly as much of this kind of movement in Pennsylvania or Ohio or other states. Similarly, you know, the young people who are coming up in politics, who are getting more familiar with what's going on in Virginia politics, these are also people who need to be approached by these campaigns to get a clear sense of where they're going from. And that's one of the priorities of both of these campaigns, to try to reach out to these newer Virginians.
How about reaching out to female voters? In my research, I've noticed Republicans are usually male voters, Democrats female voters. That's not hard and true, but some research I've read has had that. My argument would be that Allen is going to have a tougher time courting female voters. Where do you see that landing in this election?
Well, there is clearly a gender gap in American politics, and in Virginia, there's a pretty significant gender gap. Some polls have shown as much as 15 or 18 percentage point differences between the way that men vote in Virginia and women, particularly in the wake of a pretty contentious legislative session in Richmond, where a lot of issues of women's reproductive health came to the fore in the conversation. You recall the debate over the transvaginal ultrasound issue. It created a really aggressive vision for what the state government should be doing, and it created a backlash among many women voters. And so the Republican Party of Virginia has a bit of a branding issue, I think, with women voters, particularly those who are opposed to extensive government regulation of women's health. And as a result, Republican candidates whether or not they were part of that movement to try to require pregnant women to undergo transvaginal ultrasounds, whether or not they were a part of that movement, they still have to deal with the legacy where the Republican brand was tarnished. And so one of the issues that that the Allen campaign has actually somewhat steered away from has been issues of the socially conservative agenda. The focus of the Allen campaign has been, and quite rightly, I think, from the point of view of winning votes, focused much more on issues of the economy and, in particular, the issues of the defense troubles in terms of a sequester.
If you could, we've seen so many broadcasts that paint a blue and red picture of the United States in terms of which candidate, presidential-wise, will carry a state. If you could paint Virginia blue and red, for example, if maybe Shenandoah Valley might be red, and you can change the hues if you like. If you want to change red to maroon in some places, that's fine, or light blue or dark blue. How would you paint Virginia as far as voter and what you might predict for this election?
Well, Democrats win the cities in Virginia. They win Arlington. They win Alexandria. They win Charlottesville. They win Richmond. They win some of the more urban areas of Hampton Roads. The Republicans win the rural areas of the state. When you're talking about the Shenandoah Valley, for example, or Southside Virginia, Southwest Virginia, the further you are from a major metropolitan area, the more darker the red would be. The real struggle in Virginia politics, then, is over the suburbs. The Democrats tend to win the closer-in suburbs like Fairfax, sometimes Prince William, whereas the Republicans tend to win the more distant suburbs like Stafford and Spotsylvania and Fauquier. So as you look at the distance from these metropolitan areas, the further you go away from the city into the suburbs and the deeper into the suburbs you go, the more the opportunity exists for the Republicans to win those jurisdictions, whereas the Democrats win the suburban areas closer in. So as you look at Virginia, you really are looking at, in some ways, the United States in miniature. I mean, if you look at Northern Virginia, you have an area a lot like the Northeast, highly educated, relatively high income. You have a lot of people involved in high tech and in education and government. When you look at the Shenandoah Valley, for example, you're really looking at the rural heartland of America. The Shenandoah Valley in Southside Virginia looks sort of like the American Midwest. We have our own Sun Coast, if you will, or it may not be Florida, but Virginia Beach would argue that it's not too far removed from it. Of course, you have in Southside Virginia evangelical Christian voters who are very numerous, not unlike the American South. We may not have California, and perhaps some Virginians are just as happy with that. But if you think about Virginia as a state, it's a state that looks a good deal like America under a number of different metrics.
Turning to youth voting, I know it would be heartbreaking in my mind to see a lack of participation in youth, even in this election as well. Maybe you should comment on that, please, about why it's important for, our college-age listener to vote and any other issues related to that.
Well, one of the things that you have to remember about politics is that politicians are fundamentally responsive. The people who ask them for things, the people who are really visible, the people who give money to politicians, these are the people who get listened to. And if young people don't turn out to vote, then the issues of great interest to younger people don't get nearly as much attention in Washington as they would otherwise get. If you think, for example, about issues of Social Security and Medicare, there are large numbers of people who benefit from these programs, who receive paychecks every month under Social Security, and those people are highly, highly likely to vote. And as a result, politicians are very, very hesitant to do anything that would undermine their support among senior citizens. Politicians want to be sure that senior citizens are happy with what they are doing because senior citizens are the highest turnout age group of them all. Younger adults who tend not to turn out as much as, say, even people in their 50s, much less people in their 60s, these younger voters, the young adults, they don't necessarily get nearly as much attention from the government in terms of policymaking. You can recall the debate recently over the level of student loan interest rates that Congress was dealing with over the summer.
Right.
That was one of the few cases where Washington actually stopped to think about how to take care of 20-year-olds, what kind of programs would make sense for them. But remember, even with these cutbacks in terms of the interest rates for student loans, those loan rates are still well above what other loan rates are out there. I mean, even though we can look at education as a particularly effective investment, not only for the individual getting educated, but also for the government that collects taxes from people who have higher paying jobs as a result of their degrees. But even so, the interest rates on student loans are higher than interest rates, for example, on in many cases, on cars or houses. And so you can see that there's still more opportunity for government to be more responsive to young adults. But, of course, they only have to be as responsive as the numbers of young adults participating in the election make them.
Anything else? Any other questions that we should be covering here? Any other thoughts?
Well, for new voters, it's important to think about the issues of getting to the polls and having the proper ID. Virginia does have a voter ID law, but it is much less onerous, much more manageable than in many other states. The issues in Florida and Pennsylvania, for example, much harder. If you have a valid student ID issued by George Mason or any other university in the Commonwealth, that's sufficient to be an ID. Of course, a Virginia driver's license, a military ID, any federal, state, local government ID. These don't have to be photo IDs, mind you. They just need to demonstrate that you are who you say you are. If you have a utility bill or a bank statement, a government paycheck, any of these things will allow the government, the voter registrars in whatever jurisdiction you live in Virginia, to say, okay, this person is this person. You do not need to have a photo ID. And for many voters, they have received in the mail a voter ID card from the state registration authorities, and that by itself is sufficient. What's going on in Pennsylvania is much more difficult because people have to get a photo ID if they don't otherwise have one, and the state is doing nothing to help them in terms of mailing out the paperwork. So if people are worried, will I be able to vote once I get to the polls? The list of acceptable documentation is pretty good. It's a pretty extensive list compared to most states. And if for some reason whatever you bring isn't satisfactory, you can cast a provisional ballot in Virginia, and then you have a few more days to bring in proper documentation, and then your vote would be fully counted. So for young people who aren't perhaps as used to voting as some older people in the state, the new voter ID law doesn't represent all that big a hurdle. You probably carry around something that will satisfy Virginia election authorities in your pocket most of the time.
Always excellent analysis and advisement from Stephen Farnsworth. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Roger.